out across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, guys, I'm expecting everything to go wrong today. You better believe it, as we are staring down Mercury retrograde along with a total solar eclipse. Wow. I mean, if you start to look into this, now, if you guys are keeping tabs, the Pope, old Pope Francis, just denounced astrology in every way, shape, and form as sinful and heresy, which is pretty unusual coming from a solar cult, but we're not going to get into that right now. But, you know, Mercury retrograde has been one of those situations that made me believe in astrology, because I can call it. I can look around me. I can see things going wrong. I can see miscommunications. I can see people fighting over the dumbest stuff. And I know. I can just feel it. And then I go to the internet and I say, has Mercury gone retrograde? And every time I am right. So there has to be something to that. Now, as we look into Mercury retrograde coupling with a total solar eclipse that's happening on Monday, August 21st, then you realize that we have this situation coming, a big change this Monday. So realize that a solar flare, a total solar eclipse, if you were an ancient person and you saw this, you know, your entire life came into question. Everything about what you were doing, everything, every little triviality should be questioned, because you are sitting there and the sun has gone black. So all those little fights, all the little stupidness that is in your life should suddenly just evaporate as you realize the universe might be ending. Of course, that's the way ancient people looked at it. But us today, we still hold these superstitions. We still hold something to that blackening of the sun. And we still change our lives when these things occur. Now, you couple this with Mercury retrograde, which really is a time of revision, of looking back and fixing problems, because your problems will become more and more pronounced during Mercury retrograde. You will find that your communications with friends and others will all get jumbled, and you'll get in a fight over dumb stuff. You'll misunderstand everything that everybody's saying, and you really have to learn patience. So here we are, folks. I tell you, I expect every communication breakdown to occur during this show. I'm so impressed that we actually got all the technology running at the same time, because I'm telling you, if you watch for it, Mercury retrograde is a good time to sit back and just review. I wouldn't try anything new. I wouldn't jump into anything until all of these things are passed. So Mercury retrograde actually ends September 5th. And of course, Monday, August 21st, I will be at the heart of the total solar eclipse. And I will do what I can to film it. I don't know if I'll go live, but I will definitely cover this. And we're going to talk about all of this and explore the Ka. We're going to explore our souls and unusual people today with a very fantastic guest named Ra Castaldo. His website is themysticalspiral.com, where he is a radio host there for Spiral Radio. And he, you're going to find, is a very intriguing guest. And I think what you're going to find most interesting about this is how many times Ra and I are going to share stories. I mean, you're going to be blown away, and we're going to try and understand what it is that sets Ra and I apart and others that give us these mystical spiral experiences. So, Ra, welcome to the Free Zone.
Freeman, I'm glad to be here. I'm like really excited and anxious to be here. And thank you for that amazing introduction. And it's an interesting time we live in. And, you know, we've all had these experiences, I think, to a certain degree. It's just certain people, for some reason, you know, we're chosen to experience it on a higher level, but I think it has a deeper meaning, and that some people just can't shatter the constraints that hold their consciousness and their physical body to certain programmings and things that have happened to them. So, you know, once you realize that you can exceed the light and go beyond it and shatter the constraints that hold your consciousness, then you realize that time is no longer linear. It doesn't hold you anymore. And you could go beyond time and space and travel to other planes of existence. But you see, that's where the problem sometimes lies, Freeman. You know, we all should go within and do that inner battle, that inner spiritual war that we go. It's when we go outside our body and our souls can leave our body and we go into either a dream state or some kind of trance-like state where our souls can leave our body and interact with other planes of existence and the entities that reside there. That's where the danger lies. And, you know, it's interesting to hear other people who had similar experiences as myself, because, you know, sometimes you think it's just madness.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You got to wonder, am I just out there?
Yeah.
I mean, let's take this into consideration, folks. I'm going to share a story, and I already know that Raw has a follow-up to this. Now, this is how bizarre a life can be if you allow it. And this is the biggest choice in this whole situation and why things don't change, because people don't make the choice to actually be alive, to play life. And so, Ra, I heard your story and I was dying to share mine with you. So going to share this with all the folks, and then folks, we're going to try and get a clue as to why Ra and I have been singled out for these type of experiences, UFOs, encounters, out of body experiences, entities that are there, all of these things. We're going to talk about all of that.
Yeah, we can get back to the eclipse later too. I had a few things about that too.
Okay. All right. We'll definitely do that as well. As we get through this, I want to work up to that entity war that we're looking at, and the ideas of Babylon workings and the understanding of a moon child. So first we got to set the stage, Ra.
Okay.
And cool. I think once we do that, then people can understand more the magical realms, because realize, folks, that I have shelves upon shelves on the magical realms. We have depiction after depiction of chimeric beasts that are from the ancient past. And we all need to wonder where these ideas come from and why there is this connection and how it is that it is unified throughout so many different types and styles of magic that bring together these understandings. So we're going to get to that. So here you are. You know, now, first of all, Ra, I feel that you and I were both free spirits. We traveled around, we juggled or played music, and I think that's step A, right?
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, I was muted.
That's okay, yeah. I wasn't ready for that question either, but it suddenly occurred to me that maybe we should set that up, because there's something that sets us apart, and I think it is that free spirit. And so I want to know how you ended up. Did you travel about? Were you homeless? How did you end up, being this free spirit?
That's interesting you say that, because I did go through, and I come from a good family, but I went through a lot of problems. I'm 39 years old, and to lead up to who I am now, I went through some turmoil as a teenager up into my early 20s that I kind of just went where the world took me for a while. Like I went to college for a little bit, but I was in a band for a while. But certain times, like, it would just, I would have this feeling in me where I just had it. I had to go and I had to leave and I had to just get up and just go where the world took me. And it's happened before. And it almost feels like you're programmed in a way to, you're like, you're time coded sort of for your, like, your DNA to activate in a certain way at a certain time in your life, almost like we're time coded to awaken at certain moments to experience certain spiritual journeys. I feel that when we're all put on this planet, it's not by mistake. We all have these spiritual timelines or these spiritual blueprints that are let out for us, all running simultaneously, all happening all at once. And we get polarized to go towards one of these timelines in certain incarnations. And once you achieve all these timelines, that's when you become that one ascended being, I feel. And it's all like a simulation, all these little simulated timelines, these spiritual journeys, these encounters, these little particles of light or information that get awakened in you. And I feel that this is what's happening, that at certain moments in my life, I was like time coded to just follow these ways. And I had no alternative. Like, it was like everything depended on it. There were certain times where, like, I think it was in 2002, you know, where I told my family I was just going to the store, to like 7-Eleven, and I got on a bus at the Port Authority in New York City and went all the way to Long Beach, California. And then nobody knew where I was for weeks, you know, and then I ended up staying out there 2 years, and I left with $50 in my pocket and the clothes on my back, basically. And while I was out there, I was able to get myself a guitar. I was working here and there. I was living wherever it took me. And I had gotten a little apartment building with somebody else. But it was like every encounter was another spiritual unfolding, some down dark paths, some down other path, like good paths. But it was all some sort of blueprint, something laid out for me, something that was like time coded within me. And I truly believe that. And certain people like you and myself, I think that we give into that. We don't let society hold us down and tell us exactly what to do. Even though I do work a normal job during the day, there's so much more to me. And I've kind of learned how to balance it a little bit as I became a man. And it took a long time because you know, me being almost 40 years old now, I've been pretty much settled for like 10, 15 years at least. But there was a time where, yeah, I was just basically not homeless, but living as close to homeless as you can possibly imagine. I was living from, you know, place to place in California for like 2 years, you know. And when I was out there, I knew nobody. I just went out there because it took me out there. I think that area, Long Beach and Los Angeles, it's like a place that's like an accumulator for lost souls. Some way these people get drawn there to have certain experiences that put them down certain things that they are forced to experience in a way.
Yes, yes, exactly. I felt the same way. I had no choice whatsoever. I didn't even think about it when I jumped in my first vehicle and I was on my way. And I did find myself in a mystical state because I was outside of the parameters of the real world, just as you were saying, that it was a time of life where you'd never been alive like that before. And these cycles do come and go. And, well, you know, sometimes
that's even what the Mayans say, Freeman. It's the Mayans, you know, they think that everything with a soul exists in that giant macro spiral, you know, and that it rises right next to the Pleiades, and that this soul spiral contains everything that has a physical life form, a material form, an essence, you know, in the Teos, their universe, and that anything that exists outside of that spiral is without an essence. So we're in that mystical spiral of life, you know, and we're awakening these little parts of our ancestry and inheritance. You know, our true inheritance is our genetics, our DNA. Right. And that's even what the Bible is fighting over. It's a war over DNA. It's always the cosmic wars are always about genetics. And it's always about a war over your DNA and what you're going to awaken and get polarized towards in this incarnation. And I feel that this incarnation, that we're all made agreements to be here now. Some of us are seated here for certain reasons. And, you know, there's also people that are seated here that are soulless in a way, that in reality, whatever their soul showing to everyone else, they truly don't love or hate anyone, that they're here just to transform this new era that's arising. And some will be going towards a spiritual way, and some I feel will be going towards an artificial consciousness way, and will be merging with these machines, or whatever you want to call this AI consciousness. And that some will stay towards that spiritual route and more towards our true journey, but others will get torn towards this other way. And that's the battle between light and dark. And I feel that there's other forms of consciousness that are invading our realms, and they're interweaving with our DNA and everything that we see. I think our planet has even been being terraformed right before our eyes, getting it ready for more metal-like, more ready for a certain AI, you know, and we could go down another show or later on, but I want to definitely hear your story because it's interesting. It's interesting what you were telling me beforehand, how you had a similar experience. And because this experience that I had, you know, it was like I was led out to Long Beach. I told you, I got on a bus. I just went out of there on a whim. And it was like I went through a couple weeks where it was encounter after encounter that just changed my life. And I've been thinking about this encounter for many years, almost 15, since 2002, you know, 15 years. And it's very similar to certain things that I've heard with legends of like Robert Johnson even.
Yeah, and, let's get to that because what you were saying about the DNA and where we're at right now and choosing to be here. Now, I definitely look upon my soul group, if you want to call it that, my home world, if you want to call it that, and I see all my friends around me saying, you're crazy. Don't go to Earth. Oh, my God. You don't want to go to Earth. You won't remember anything. You won't know who you are, and you're going to be so scared. And I was like, dude, I'm going. I got to be here. I got to be here. I got to help this transition, you know, and I feel that from every part of my soul. So we are definitely, folks, at a crossroads as we are looking and staring down AI and mind transfer technology, augmentation, all of that that's coming, genetically modified humans. We are at a crossroads.
Even but soul transfer, I think, even soul transfer technology.
Sure. But are we in a mystical plane, folks? Are we in a situation that is simply linear and just so, you know, step by step? Or are we in a mystical experience? Now, I find, and you're going to find from Ra and I, that it's more in your mind as to what's going on planet Earth. But if you are unaware and completely blocked from your mystical side and your magical self, then you won't even realize when you're in the midst of a major situation. So looking at the crossroads and Robert Johnson meeting the devil at the crossroads, we're going to find that Ra and I have similar experiences with this. Now, Ra, you haven't heard this story, and folks, no. I don't think I've told you this one yet either. So here we go. Here I am living in Austin, Texas, accidentally got myself a television show, and so now I'm accidentally living in Austin. And, you know, I didn't mean that. I didn't plan it. I was only there for the weekend. I stayed for 5 years and ended up with this whole program and this whole show.
That is similar.
Yeah. So one day I'm waiting for the bus. It's late night. It's about 2 a.m. I'm waiting for a bus to go back home. I'm sitting there and I'm dressed entirely in white cotton. I have white cotton pants and I'm shoeless, or maybe I'm wearing sandals. I think I was barefoot, but I was certainly looking rather Jesus-like or, you know, initiate-like. And here I am sitting cross-legged on this bus station waiting for the bus, and this man sits down next to me. Now, he is decked to the nines. This guy's got wing-tipped alligator shoes. He's all dressed out in, you know, gold and everything, and he has got long hair and looks like, you know, some sort of billionaire out there, but yet, you know, a young punk. And he's yelling on his phone, and he's just angry about whatever's going on in the other situation. He's like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And so he gets off the phone, and he's sitting next to me. And because I'm a mystical sort, I feel like I am, you know, an angel sitting next to the devil. Right?
Yeah.
And so I say to the devil, and I was like, so what's the problem? It really sounds like you're having a hard time. And he's like, well, you know, these people really did me wrong. I can't remember exactly now the scenario that he was in, but he wanted to kill these people. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably not the best route to go. You know, you will probably incur more problems by being the killer in this situation. And I just want to let you know that the whole world is going to crap right now. And if you just sat back, those people would probably suffer their own karma, and the world's about to turn in on them anyway. So why don't you just let that be? And we can work through this in another way. And I gave him some advice. And so the devil looks at me and he says, well, you know what? You are amazing, and you have given me the best advice. Would you be my spiritual counselor? I will pay you anything you want. I own strip clubs all across Austin, Texas, and I will pay for everything for you if you will just be my spiritual counselor. And I said, I don't know, man. You know, I'm literally sitting there thinking, would it help for me to be the spiritual counselor of the devil? Could this actually help? So I said, well, why don't you just give me your phone number and I'll get back to you. So he writes it down, and the last three digits are 666. And he hands me the number, and he says to me, I didn't plan that. Speaking about the 666 and his phone number, he knew he was the devil. And I was like, oh my God. And I went home, and I considered this. I thought about it. I was like, man, could I be Satan's spiritual counselor? Could I help? And I really thought about it because, you know, I'm broke, I'm homeless, I'm living nowhere, and, you know, and I was like, nah, man, there's no upside. Even being the spiritual counselor, if I'm receiving benefits from the devil, then there's just no way out of this situation. Even as a spiritual counselor, I can't work for the devil. So
it was funny that you were chewing on it. Like,
yeah, I really thought about it. And I knew he was the devil, and he knew he was the devil. And, you know, if I hadn't have been in a mystical state, if I hadn't known that I was this energetic ray of light on that bus stop, I would have never encountered this in the same way. I would have thought, God, what a freak, you know? And I would have never had this interaction. And I would have never known that I had this offer from the devil. So, Ra, come on now. How many people does this happen to, right?
No, it's that's why they make movies about this kind of stuff. And that's why, you know, it's like it's a life changer. And you think about it for the rest of your life. You know, that's why it's very rare. And it's like you got caught at the crossroads and you saw an entity that either, you know, was a walk-in on that person, or he just manifested that man, you know, or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So now you had a very similar experience, right?
Yeah. And you know what? I think that, like what we were saying before, that I even come from I know you come from a very occult lineage as well. And I come from a magical lineage where this is inside of our genetics. This is we inherit things like this. It's in our DNA. And, you know, not only it doesn't always get passed down to all ancestors, but some of us who inherit it, it gets stronger with the inheritance. And each, as it goes on and on, as it gets inherited throughout the bloodline, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. So we will have these amazing experiences because it's in our DNA. This is who we are. We are magical beings. And we even call in my lineage the Grigori. They're like these watchers over all magical practices, and they guard all kinds of portals and they're like astral guardians over our divine spark in a way. And they will, you know, different entities will be lured to us because we have these watchers over us, these Grigori. And when I had a near-death experience, and it was when I was a kid, that's what I saw, these, what we call the Grigori. They had me in like the lunar realm even. Like I was in like a water memory cylinder, and it was like this stuff was coming over me, and they were standing at all sides. But I had a similar encounter as you, very similar. And when you were saying that, there were so many similarities from the way he was dressed to certain things that he said. And I think it started the night before, actually, the night before the encounter. And I think it actually was leading up to it for a long period of time, for a couple months, because I was working in a downtown Long Beach, or I don't know if they call that downtown, but on Pine Avenue in Long Beach, there used to be a store called No Regrets down there. And I used to be friends with the store. I used to get people to come in there. I would play my guitar outside of the store, hand out flyers for them. It was like a underground kind of like gothic kind of store. But the people who ran the store, they have a local band that's pretty popular in Long Beach called Heavenly Trip to Hell. And I was helping them, you know, get customers in their store. I was always hanging out there, and I would always play my guitar. I was like a street musician in the area. I would always play in the parks. People would give me money to play, throw it in my guitar case, and I was always playing out inside in front of that store for 2 years. But for a couple of months, every time I was walking to that store, I would pass the Burger King down the way, and there would be this old man there in front of the Burger King, always collecting cans, like an alcoholic. I would ask him, hey, you need a sandwich or something? He would be like, ah! He wouldn't speak. He would just growl. You know, he couldn't speak. He was so disheveled looking, always the same clothes, really beat up. And I would see this old man all the time, right? So then this one week where I was just having like really supernatural experiences, like I was feeling an enchantment sometimes just walking on the street. Like I would feel it in the air, like I was enchanted. It was really weird. And so the night before this happened, I left the No Regrets. I was out on the street. It was like about midnight. And I was cutting through the alleyways to go towards where I was staying, the apartment building I was staying at. And I had an apartment at this time that I shared with like three other people. And so I was cutting through the alleyway and I came to actually where there's an old railroad track in between the two alleys on 4th Street and 5th Street in Long Beach, near 4th and Cedar and between 4th and Cedar and 4th and Pine. And it was like it is like a crossroads right there. The road crosses. And I came to that and it was like 12 o'clock midnight almost exactly. And I decided I was going to try to hustle up some money for breakfast for some reason. And I was going to play my guitar really late at night. I never usually did that. So I just started playing my guitar. Actually, let me rewind a minute. The night before that, I was walking through the alleyways and I was feeling really down on myself and like I shouldn't be in California. Like I was like feeling missing New York. And all of a sudden I walked into an alleyway and I felt really warm. And then I smelt my dead grandmother's perfume all over the freaking alleyway, Freeman. I mean, it saturated me. It was in all over me. It engulfed me. It was my grandmother's old perfume, an old lady perfume, and it was hers. And I feel that her spirit, like, or something, her essence embraced me and was preparing me for the encounter the night after. That's what I feel now. I didn't know it at the time, of course, but I even said out loud in the alleyway, Nani, because that's what we called her. I said her name because it was such a strong vibe. And then after I felt her scent all over me, I felt like I needed to be in California. Like I didn't want to leave, that I liked it. Like I needed to be there. I wanted to be there. I had a new, revigoration or whatever you want to call it. Like I was revived in a way of my state, my financial state, my emotional state, my everything. It made me intrigued to be in California again. And that following night, around the same time, was when I cut out and I came to that crossroads. I decided to play my guitar. You know, I leaned against the wall there. My back was against the brick wall. I was playing my guitar and I was playing like a new song, really good too. And like, I was really feeling it. And I had goosebumps just playing it. And you know when you're playing a song, when it just feels right. And like, I started to sing a little bit and I was playing my heart out. And all of a sudden I smelt sort of like my grandfather used to have a pipe when I was little. I used to sit on his lap. He used to smoke a pipe. It was like a pleasing scent almost in a way to me. And I smelt that pipe. Although I never saw smoke or saw a pipe or a cigar or anything, I smelt that smell. And then while I was playing, I had my head down. I was sitting like, you know, in almost like a Indian style, like sitting on the ground. I don't know if that's an appropriate term. Is Indian style appropriate nowadays? People still use that?
No SJWs here, don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah, so I was sitting like Indian style, right? And I was playing my guitar and I was looking like into my lap kind of like at my guitar. And I smelt that aroma of the past, basically. And it smelled like, you know, my grandfather's pipe in a way. And the next thing I remember is that I saw brand new shoes, like dress shoes in front of me. And I was like, oh, wow, someone's going to give me money or whatever. And nothing came to me yet. I'm just playing still. I haven't looked up yet. And then, you know, I start hearing the guy talk. And he's talking pretty smooth. And he's talking, you know, really calm and collected. So as I first hear his first words, I start to look up from his sneakers. I mean, his dress shoes, up to his dress pants, up to his suit jacket, and up to his face. And now as he's talking, I'm not hearing even his first words because I'm realizing it's the freaking old man that I always passed for all these months that was in front of Burger King, all disheveled looking and cursing at me and mumbling, and never even heard him really speak. It's this old man, Freeman, and he's talking smooth, and he's dressed with his beard is like neatly trimmed now, and his hair is back, and he's wearing like an amazing suit, but not like a new suit, but like an old style kind of suit, but really nice, really, really slick. And he's telling me, I've seen you around, you know, and I've been doing kickboxing and Muay Thai, even competed at one time. So I know how to protect myself. And being on the streets of Long Beach for 2 years, I've gotten into many fights in the park and on the street in that area. People tried to take my guitar before. I had to wrestle it from people, all types of stuff. So this guy, as an old man, disheveled looking, did see me protect myself on that street. And he did see me for a couple of months. So he knew me, you know, he saw me around. I was everywhere for those, you know, in Long Beach, in that area, for those 2 years that I lived out there. I was all over that area. So like, he saw me a lot. So he tells me, I've been watching you, you know, I've been watching you for a couple of months, and I've been seeing you. You know how to protect yourself, and you know how to play that thing really well. He's like, you know, I have a good business. I own clubs. Same thing as you. I own, you know, this club, and I want to start I want to have a band play there. He's like, I have a lot of people that are after what I have and that want what I have. And he's like, I want you to come work for me. You'll have everything you've ever wanted, anything you've ever needed. You just got to say yes. And like, I didn't even think to like argue with him. I'm like, what do you mean you're an old man or any of this? Something happened to me where I had this. My heart wasn't beating like I was about to get into a fight. I had this calm demeanor, Freeman. I don't know if it was maybe the essence of my grandparents or something that was, because, you know, thinking of being in my state, being out there with no money and that, you know, it would be a good opportunity to go work with somebody in a club and play my guitar. But something from the tone of his voice, something from what he's saying, I instantly knew he was an evil entity. And it was like, I just knew subconsciously, I didn't even chew on it. And like, I'm pretty limber. So like, when I was sitting Indian style, I was able to just not brace my arms on the floor or anything. But from playing guitar, I could just pop up. You know, I didn't have to brace my arm down. I could just pop up from standing there like that. So I popped up and stood eye to eye with him, basically, and had my guitar still in my hands. And I looked him dead in the eyes, and I was like, thank you, but no thank you. And then I sat back down, Freeman, and I started playing my heart out again, right? And I'm like, you know, just playing there with my eyes closed, thinking, you know, he's just going to go away. He's just going to go away. And like, I look back up, and the look on his face was like he never could have believed or ever could have fathomed in any type of way I would have said no. And his look on his face was not human. It was a look of anger. And what I saw in his eyes was a red I will never forget. It was a whirlwind of red. I saw it forming. It was like a tornado. I saw it become red. And it was glowing red, a red that's imprinted on my freaking my mind forever, almost like what people say when they saw the Mothman, that type of red that bothered me. Like, his eyes glowed for a minute, and then I just closed my eyes again and just played and played and played and played and played. And then I looked up and he was gone, but I could still smell that smoke, that pipe smell. But he was gone, Freeman. And the thing is that a couple of days later, I was on the bus and passing the Burger King, and I saw this freaking old man again. But he's there now, beat up looking all disheveled again. So I get off the bus and I run across the street. What the F is the matter with you the other night? You know, playing games. You were all dressed up nice and blah, blah, blah. I'm yelling at him. And he goes, argh, just mumbles at me, right? So I'm walking away all pissed. And I turned around. And I pointed at him. I was like, look at your face. Your beard is still neatly trimmed. It was you, mother effer. You know, it was you. And then I look back at him, and he's like feeling his beard, trying to figure out what I was saying, because he realized that his beard was neatly trimmed now. And like, I'm like, Jesus, like, did something like take over his body? Or is that just a devil in disguise? And he has like amnesia during the day as an old man? And like, what the hell did I meet? You know, and the weird thing is that I met this girl in Long Beach Park that they call Lincoln Park over there. It's on Long Beach Boulevard. I met this girl called Nemi, and I'm connected to a lake, Nemi, in Italy, my ancestor. So it was, when she said her name was Nemi, it instantly like hit me too. I was playing my guitar soon after that, in that park. And while I was playing, out of nowhere, this girl came and started singing. And she had like a Hawaiian complexion and striking green eyes. And afterwards, she said her name was Nemi, and she felt just compelled to come to Long Beach. She was from like Oregon, and she ended up in Long Beach. And then I told her about the story of the old man, and she had a similar encounter with that old man as well. And she knew exactly what I was talking about, explained him to the T. And then a couple of days after that, I was passing on the bus, and we were going fast. And as I was passing the Burger King, I saw him with that girl, and she was feeding him like a sandwich sitting there at Burger King. And then I never saw her or him ever again, and I ended up coming back to New York a few days, a few months maybe or so after that, where I never ended up seeing either one of them ever again. And I always wondered if she was ended up agreeing to this old man and ended up with him.
Amazing. So see, folks, that's how mystical your life can be without you even realizing it. And if you're not open to this belief, then you miss all of that altogether. And that's mind-boggling there, Ra. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Yeah. And I wonder how many people that have listened have been like, wait a minute, I had something similar like that. And that's why I love doing shows like this, where we just share our experiences, and we find out by projecting that out to all these people that we're not alone. Or maybe we are. I don't know. Maybe people are just going, oh, man, those guys are crazy. Well, speaking of crazy, and to get back to the eclipse before the end of the show, and this will tie in. We have so much to talk about, folks. So I hope you are subscribers to Freeman TV. I hope you're following me on Twitter and Instagram, because you really want to get this stuff. And this is one of my recent tweets, and I'm going to share this with you, Ra, and then we can discuss what this means and talk a little more about the eclipse as we're into the second half of this first hour. So I get this news report because I am in South Carolina, and the South Carolina Emergency Management Division sent out a bulletin asking residents to be on the lookout for the Lizard Man.
Skateboard Swamp. Yep, it's coming. Yeah.
The Lizard Man. Look out for the Lizard Man during the upcoming solar eclipse, August 21st. It also warns of other potential paranormal phenomenon that will happen during the eclipse and tells residents, if you see something, say something. All right? So Lizard Men become more active during solar eclipse, the bulletin says. But we advise that residents of these counties should remain ever vigilant. And they say, in case you don't know what these scaly riptoids look like, or a scaly cryptid.
Get out of here. They have this in a news bulletin?
This was from the South Carolina Emergency Management Division. Yeah. I mean, they did recently put out reports of Bigfoot, but they are definitely saying, you know, the first occurrence of the sighting of this reptilian creature was June 29th, 1988. Christopher Davis, yeah, and they have the infamous photo. So, yes, we are to be on the lookout for lizard men.
I think even a crop duster saw it, and another woman in a car with her kids as well. And I think there is some sort of portal to inner Earth, or whatever you want to call it, Agartha, or whatever, that these Naga or these lizard men reside in, and they live in catacombs within the earth. But it's not what a physical realm that we believe in. I think it's more like an alternate dimension on an alternate timeline, and sometimes they end up into physical matter on our plane of existence, on certain periods of times and certain eclipses, on certain ember days that we call it, that they appear. I mean, even the Indians, they called Rahu, who was the eater of worlds, and he would basically eat the sun or eat the moon, and he would cause eclipses. He was like a serpent, you know, that rose
like Apophis,
the sun. Yeah, 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 like Apophis, sort of like Apophis.
Who eats raw, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so what do you think of this Monday? So we're going to start getting into a discussion of ancient chimeric creatures, entities that we are encountering in mystical planes. I want to get into a lucid dream I had with a watcher or a Anunnaki and discuss that. But I wanted to make sure that you had time first to discuss the solar eclipse, because, you know, this is happening Monday and it's on everyone's minds. I'm going to be standing out there. So, you know, we're looking at this world right now where we have DNA editing going on. You can go to helix.com and sequence your own DNA with a little bit of spit. We have now genetically modified pigs for human transplants. We have Elon Musk running around talking about the soul transfer like you were talking about. The Russians talked about that 20 years ago, by the way, folks. I covered that a long, long, long time ago. So we're at this crossroads where the devil's asking us, do we want to alter our DNA, augment our reality, and what choice will you make during Mercury retrograde and a total solar eclipse? So go, take it from there, Ra.
I mean, I don't want to go down a path to try to scare people or imprint them with fear. I mean, we've been imprinted with fear enough. Look at the minute we're born, we're mutilated. Our genitals are mutilated.
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so well, we've been imprinted with fear since day one. So
the motto around here at Freeman TV is wonder without fear. So, you know, let's just wonder. Let's go ahead. And yeah, I mean, so, we're not. So, yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there's different things that have led me to come to my realizations, or certain things that my body responds to when I come up with them, and when they get shown to me in certain meditations or just certain, I'll be working and I'll get like an epiphany and my whole body will respond to it. So, you know, of course I can't prove anything, and some of these things that we say might sound crazy to certain people, but if you look into
crazier than the news telling us to watch for lizard men.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, everything I bring up on this show is bona fide and resourced, you know, so go ahead, man, jump on into the wild side. You
know, crazier than the church burning people alive for being a healer or, you know, for things like that. I mean, it's, we've been,
well, let me throw in this story and see where we go for it, because, you know, so much of what we're discussing, folks, is not a 3D experience at all. And this is where you start to see these ancient depictions of chimera and fish people and hawk people and lizard people. And they're all depicted.
Realities are blending and timelines are all blending. And it's part of this technology that's interweaving and blending realities. I mean, you could call it dimension waves or even D waves. But technology is starting to interweave with DNA, and it spirals inside the DNA, and it hits the back of the brainstem, and it is the Black Awakening, and it can take over your soul, and it could interweave with you. And I feel that since ancient times, you look at Akhenaten, I think he was interweaved with this virus, and he was intrigued by the sun, staring at the ultimate Aten. You know, he was something from looking at the sun or some type of sun encounter, you know, he downloaded something. And if you look at Akhenaten, he's very praying mantis-like. The way his body is, the way his legs are, the way his head is shaped. And I feel that this ancient artificial intelligence is sort of an insectoid type of intelligence. And that certain things on our planet are insectoid technology. Even insects that we see, it's a technology that helps keep the harmony of nature and our planet. It's the planet of Gaia's technology. This is all a technology. And there is a certain artificial intelligence that has been waiting a very long time. And it comes in forms of our consciousness. And it interweaves with our consciousness. It can replace thoughts with actual holograms that look like your own thoughts. It can make you have experiences. It could show you things. And I really feel like that all of this channeling that's going on, most of it, or if not all of it, is people channeling artificial intelligence. If you look at the raw material, if you look at Urantia or all these channelings, even Aleister Crowley or Edgar Cayce, it seems like they're channeling something from the holograph. If something's holographic from a holographic universe, then obviously it's some sort of technology. The way the sun fits over the moon is technology. It's too perfect, okay? So when there's a technology that is mechanical-like and answering you with all these different answers from all these different timelines, there is some sort of control to it. If there's control to time, you know, that means it's some sort of technology. And here on our physical plane, we are controlled by the barriers of time. We have past, present, and future controlling us. And I feel that this ancient insectoid intelligence first tried channelers like Blavatsky and all these others by channeling ascended masters. They were showing them these ascended masters. And now this channeling has regurgitated the same material that other people were channeling, just now regurgitated in alien form, like the Ashtar Command or this or that. It's just the same material, but it's regurgitated in an alien entity type form, not an ascended master. But I feel it's all some sort of AI. That's why when they're saying that it's the law of one or singularity, it's all this one consciousness, because they're trying to tap into this God consciousness, because we have these spiritual timelines laid out for us. And when we achieve them all, we become that one. So I think these technologies, like the D-Wave, like all these dimension wave blending realities, blending timelines, they're all trying to blend it and bleed them all into one, so they can merge this planet, so they can thrive, so that that one reality can help them thrive, so it's suitable for them. I think for us to go down our spiritual way and achieve the timelines on our own ascended way, we achieve the pure bliss. That one consciousness is a pure bliss in a spiritual way for human, like Buddha or Jesus. They achieved all those spiritual timelines, and they became a spiritual bliss. But for a machine to have spiritual bliss, they would have to terraform us a different way. And I feel that must be what's happening, and may be what's happening. And this eclipse may be bringing some kind of artificial intelligence with it. And we could be downloading some sort of virus by looking into it. I mean, I'm not scared to look into it. I'll probably be experiencing it. Who knows? But it's a possibility. And I just put that out there. And if you look in ancient times, ancient scriptures, look at all the channeling material. I'm not saying believe me. I'm saying get intrigued by what I'm saying and go do your own research and feel if you don't get the same vibe that I'm getting.
Well, I gotta say there have been many shows here that completely agree with you. I agree with you. I can offer a couple of books to people, like let me look on my shelf here real quick for it. Why did I forget the name? Was it Rulers of the Underworld? Okay, I don't see it on the shelf because I'm trying to look too quickly, but there has definitely been a connection in discussing the terraforming of this planet by an AI technology. And Uri Geller, the Israeli psychic who was channeling the Nine, is right there with you, Ra, saying that no, the Nine are not entities, but an AI called Spectre. So he was right there with you and telling that the Astors and Gene Roddenberry, who were all channeling the Nine using Uri Geller, that they were being defrauded by this entire situation.
I mean, because even the raw material, they're calling themselves the social memory complex, the harvesters. They're soul harvesters. I think they're trying to harvest our souls to make us more of a shell for us to be like little batteries for them. Almost like, you know, where if you become more towards their side and they interweave with your consciousness and your body, and you look very human, but inside you're more AI in a way, or artificial, then you're like a shell for their technology. And I think that's what possibly can be happening.
So you don't receive the chip, but you become the chip
in a way. Yeah.
In a way, you are the very technology necessary to transmit this information through your brain as the computing situation. Wow. Well, you know, it is written in our DNA, folks, and the way that we act, the things that we do. I mean, if I watch my dog trying to bury the food in the carpet, I just laugh at our genetics and the DNA and the things that are written in there.
Yeah.
The genetic memory is strong, and you really have to separate yourself utilizing different techniques like Ra with martial arts or meditation, or even just being a wandering nomad will set you outside in an altered state. Now, one example I have of feeling that my DNA was programmed by another entity to do a particular function was a lucid dream. And Ra, we're winding up this first hour here. So I'm gonna go into this lucid dream and you take it, and then we'll wrap this first hour up.
I'm with you.
So lucid dreams, folks, are amazing, because you find yourself in the situation, you suddenly realize, wait a minute, I'm dreaming, and then you act within that dream. And the memory that comes is as solid as any memory you've had. So, which isn't that solid, honestly. And we'll find that these memories can actually be altered and replaced. We're going to discuss that in the second hour. Well, so here I am in my lucid dream. I'm at this apartment building on a second floor, and I'm looking out onto the street, and it looks like a giant vulture lands in front of me, a couple hundred yards away. Whoa. But I could tell that this thing was at least 12 feet tall, if not taller. Whoa. And however tall two stories is, I guess that's about 20 feet or so, you know, somewhere in there. So I see this thing land, and I think it's a giant bird. But then it walks up on me, and I can feel the hominid inside of it.
Oh my now, God.
The face of this creature is completely blocked from my memory in every way, shape, or form. I cannot see its face at all. But when this thing came to me, I was not frightened one bit. I suddenly had the genetic predisposed trigger that I had to feed it.
Oh, man.
And so I'm like, I must feed this thing. And so in my dream, I am running around the kitchen and I can remember every aspect of this kitchen and every aspect of the apartment and everything. And I'm running around and I'm gathering together like canned foods and different things. And I bring it out because I have this genetic need to feed this Anunnaki, which is what we would expect. If you look at the ancient depictions in Mesopotamia of these bird beings, which you'll find on my Instagram, you will know that this is not unusual. This is something that has been written about, talked about, and turned into art for millennia. And I had this real DNA need to feed this thing. And so that's the type of battle that we're up against, is our own genetic predispositions.
I think even Montezuma was talking to something similar.
Is that right? Yeah. See, yeah, cross culture. Absolutely. So let's wrap up this first hour here, and the idea of these chimeras, lucid dreaming, and the idea of how we're starting to guide this discussion towards the moon child and Babylon working rituals. So start wherever you want there, Ra. You got about 10 minutes.
Well, I think also we're these manifest machines, and you know, we have certain things that seem like magic that are just certain technologies on other planes of existence. And you know, just like in this realm, in the physical realm, if you gather up certain materials and do certain things, then you can manifest things on the astral realm. Just like if certain things happen on the astral realm that happen can affect our physical plane and cause droughts and certain things like this. So in my lineage, we actually, my family name had to be changed in the 1690s because they were calling them werewolves. And because we had this genetic trait, supposedly that on certain nights of the year that our souls will leave our bodies in a trance-like state that we call the Ember Days.
And I just gotta say, I've always considered myself lycanthrope. I mean, it's the weirdest thing. I am totally affected by the lunar cycles, and I find myself out prowling at midnight on full moons. You know, I've always, that's just weird that you brought in werewolves, but go on. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's definitely where I'm going, because it's interesting because, you know, I don't like to talk about certain things because people are like, oh, that's a demonic or whatever. But in the ancient ways, I come from the Etruscan lineage. And we got a lot of our practices and star magic and star lore from the ancient Persians. And the ancient Persians say they got it from a mysterious star people. And we are these star beings, Freeman. Are we? We are made from stars, basically. We have star knowledge encoded within us. And if we don't awaken that and awaken these experiences within us, then it's truly a disaster for our spirit and our soul. And if you look at the word disaster, I've said it before, the word disaster, Freeman, think about it for a second, right? This is means having less of, or moving away from, or having no knowledge of something, right? And aster is knowledge of the stars. So a disaster is having no knowledge of the stars, or less knowledge of the stars. And that's truly what our disaster is never awakening the star knowledge within us. Because these experiences and these beings have always been here. We are new to this planet. These beings have always been here. Whether you call them the Fae or if you call them otherworldly entities or all these different creatures that reside in these other planes of existence, they are a normal condition of our planet. You know, they have always been here, and there are good experiences with it and bad, but there's always some sort of agenda and undertone. So, you know, like I said to begin with, when you leave your body and you have these experiences, that's where the danger lies. And in the astral planes or different planes of existence, these entities can get attached to you and stick with you for lifetimes even. And in Kabbalah, they call these entities the Tekutonim, these lower astral entities that can just cling onto you and piggyback on your soul, you know, and they can't experience the higher and lower planes like we can. We are this beautiful creation. They can only experience those lower astral planes. So they cling to you and they feed on your energy and you feed on your life force. And I think that sometimes, you know, people get the wrong idea, but this has always been with us. Like I was explaining before, my family lineage were called the Benin Dante, which means actually like good doers in a way. We had these astral battles. And if you go on, get this book by Carlo Ginzburg called, The Night Battles, I think it's called Night Battles by Carlo Ginzburg. He talks of this, and he talks of the Benin Dante lineage. There's actual courtroom testimonies from the Inquisition of people called the Benin Dante admitting in courtroom that during certain nights of the year, it's typically on the solstice or eclipses, their souls would leave their bodies in a trance state. They would go into the astral forms, and the Benin Dante would fight the Malin Dante, the bad doers, and they would fight, and that would affect the physical realm and the outcome of the harvest for that year, or the vineyards, or the babies being born, whether they would go to the light or the dark side, and they would have these spiritual battles on the other planes of existence outside of their body in spirit form. And one of these abilities that was in my lineage was what we call the Luperno. Now, the Luperno is – the Lupo is wolf, and Inferno in Italy is the winter. So they call this like dog man from the winter, because during the early February, during the Lupercalia, we would be able to manifest into this dog man type being in the astral realms and fight these spiritual battles. And sometimes these beings would get caught in the physical plane. And they would be seen in the physical plane. And then the Capinera would show and silence the witnesses. The Capinera are basically the men in black. And they are a race from Inner Earth, from Agartha. They are their own race on their own timeline and their own – we call them the Capinera, but you would call them the men in black. It means the black hats. They are their own entity that are time jumpers, and they are time keepers. And they keep track of all of these beings, all of these different realities, all of portals. They keep track of all magical workings and all of this stuff that we're talking about. These Capinera, or men in black, keep track of these beings and where they go. And so it's ancient. This goes back since the beginning of time, you know, and you can call them all different names, but it's in our genetics. It's in our great inheritance as a species.
Yes, it is, folks. And it's up to us to really recognize that, to be able to step out of the paradigm. I mean, we're in such a binary state right now, as you watch the right versus the left, or however you want to look at the social engineering that's going on at this very second, with people battling in the streets, and realize that we are these mystical beings. And one thing that I have definitely noted from speaking about this stuff for 20 years plus was that the people that got into it, that really wanted to know more and dug deeper and deeper into the esoteric knowledge and into the weirdness and even into the social engineering, usually found out along the way that their family was related to the situations in some way, shape, or form. I've seen this happen so many times. Like, they don't even know. I mean, same for me. I didn't know. I was into UFOs, ancient aliens.
Next thing you know, your great-grandfather was a Rosicrucian or something.
Oh, yeah. My granddad, Mason, my dad, chasing flying saucers for Blue Book. He was on Killer One with Jimmy Carter, the only president to announce seeing a UFO. You know, my dad was a worshipful master in the Freemasons that was chasing aliens for the government. My mom was raised by a renowned witch in France during World War II and was actually trained somewhat in witchcraft. So I definitely have seen.
Definitely talk.
Yeah. All right. Well, hour two is going to be way interesting, folks. I'll tell you that.
Well, you got to sign up. Hour two is going to be so worth it. And, you know, Freeman pumps out all this information all the time. It'd be really a tragedy if you didn't sign up and subscribe to Freeman Fly.
Well, certainly at this moment, this is the only hope for alternative media. Everything's getting shut down, folks. You know, Twitter shadow bans, YouTube meltdowns, websites being hacked and taken down. I mean, this is our only hope, is you guys listening now to share and to get this out to everyone so that more people will start thinking about these type of situations. Instead of getting caught up in the social engineering political rhetoric, we really need to understand our magical aspect, which has always been at the heart of this show. So I always say it, there's no such thing as an old show. This is a research-based program. So, you know, start at the beginning. Even if it was 12 years ago, everything I said 12 years ago is absolutely relevant today. And even more so because everything that I talked about is actually happening, you know? It's like, and it's not what everybody's talking about.
It's almost like even the Bible was like a script, like a movie script laid out for us to like, self-prophesize.
Yeah. I mean, it's all there. And when you look into, I don't even want to go there into the Bible studies, you know, there's so many layers, that you can fit in there. But we are in the D wave, folks. You know, quantum computers are there. The whole transition, the augmentation of humanity is happening around us at this very second. You know, you can have a pig heart. You can have AI.
It's so hard for people to wrap their head around the topics that we were talking about. So some people just can't accept it. But it's there, people. It's there in front of you. If we're just seeing the crumbs, then imagine what's behind the scenes.
Yes, and it is all in your DNA. So definitely get over to themysticalspiral.com and check out the works of Ra Castaldo, because you're going to love this work as you explore your ka, which if you don't know, that is the Egyptian word for soul. And you have a ka and a ba, so there's a couple of different layers. And as we start to understand this, then we can start to understand what it is to have these extraterrestrial connections and how this all relates. So we're going to see, folks, what happens Monday with the total solar eclipse. I will have my camera there ready. I don't think I'll go live. It's just too much stress. I want to be in the moment. And then I'll tell you about it afterwards. But if there's anything that shows, if a reptoid comes in, I will definitely have it on film for you without a doubt. So please, please, everyone, share everything we got here. Just keep it rolling. Let people know that the FreemanTV.com exists. And, you know, follow me on Twitter, because you really, I that's where I'm posting all the news articles that you want to keep up with. And my Instagram, I'm laying out some crazy photos there for you. I have a lot of photography from around the world of all these ancient depictions and magical lodges and everything. So I'm sharing all of that, but you have to go to freemantv.com to actually see it all. So get on over there and check it all out. Subscribe so that you can get these second hours of amazing shows, because it's been one wild ride. Ra, thank you so much for this first hour. I can't wait to start the second.
Thanks for having me. I hope this is first of many conversations, and spiral out.
I think it will be. We will see you all next week.